The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives. Live from Circa, we have Walls.
A numbers game 3.0, or at least. We're back in the studio, baby. Let's go, Gil. I'm excited to be here.
How you doing, man? You good?
Great. Was up at 3:30 this morning, ready to go with our new new digs here, getting making sure the whole crew's ready.
Did you bring an apple for the first day of school?
No, I didn't. I forgot something.
All right.
Miles brought donuts, though.
Oh, good.
That's the same thing,
right?
Apples, donuts.
I cannot partake. Congratulations to the Morning Line for their first show this morning. Well done. We will talk college football this morning. We will talk, obviously, baseball with Mark Borchardt. Mike Somich will join us to give us all his picks. Few tack on the first weekend of college football. Kelly and I will review some of our NFL team futures. I want to get in first segment, though, with obviously the U.S. Open and some never-too-early Heisman talk.
Yes.
Never-too-early Heisman talk. First, let's talk tennis, because it is, as we tennis hardos like to say, it is the business end of the United States Open. Second half of the round of 16 begins today. We finally had a losing day yesterday, the dreaded 0-1. Where Alexei Popperin.
What were you, 5-0 3 days ago?
Yeah, that was a monster day. It was a rather large day. Followed up with a nice plus 199 dog on Friday. Split washed on Saturday, and we went 0-1 yesterday. Alexei Popperin had three set points in the second set on his racket. He gacked it, and we knew the match was kind of over at that point. Tiafoe beats him. Today, there are two plays in tennis, one of which is completely out of whack and unplayable. The other one is playable. Karolina Muchova, who is one of our two Q2 futures plays at 10-1 preflop. She is now the favorite to win quarter number two. I put this in at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport logs in their plays at VSiN.com/picks. That is for survivors. That is for subscribers and survivors too, by the way. It was minus 128 when I put it in on Saturday over Jasmine Paolini, who's trying to get to her third consecutive Grand Slam final. It is now minus 175.
Whoa.
So that's, you know, what is that? 47,
significant.
47 cents of CLV. I have to tell you this, though. When we get this kind of CLV, it hasn't really worked out that well. So hopefully this is the exception.
Okay. That feels like a lot compared to what we normally talk about when you say it.
We had one with Bedosa a couple weeks ago. That was 52 cents. We had one with Valinets, which was 47 cents. They both lost, by the way.
So not Paolini injury related or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
This is just the fact that I think besides Aryna Sabalenka pulverizing the tennis ball, no one's playing better than Karolina Muchova.
I mean, you've been her what, two or three times now at least.
I had her at Wimbledon to win her quarter. That didn't work out, but she's got two more matches to get to the prize here for Q2. So Muchova is unplayable, but Carolyn Wozniacki is playable today. I got her minus 113. That's at VSiN.com/picks. This I put in yesterday over Beatriz Haddad-Maia. That's at about, what is it looking at? Minus 123 right now. Don't let it get out of the minus 120s. Don't let it get higher than that if it happens to continue in that direction. So Muchova no longer playable today against Paolini, which is a match that starts in about 55 minutes. And then Wozniacki a little later today. That is a playable play against Beatriz Haddad-Maia to sort of update the futures that we have.
Yeah.
Muchova 10-1 to win Q2, two matches away there. Paula Badosa plus 550, one match away from winning her quarter Q3. She's got to take down Emma Navarro. That's tomorrow. And then Iga Swiatek four matches away, if you will, from winning the whole thing. So she's got a match today. She's got to advance to the quarterfinals as well. So the second half of the round of 16 at the U.S. Open today, the greatest show in sports, the greatest show in tennis for sure.
I love it. We talk about it every time seemingly, but man, I wish we had just more U.S. Grand Slams where you could actually watch this stuff later into the night. And a great weekend of sports with that combined with college football and everything like that. Football's back. Love it. Great tennis, great golf.
Great golf. Should we have the golf discussion now or later? Let's have it later.
Yeah.
Let's talk about golf next time because I have a big question for you.
Okay.
And the question basically is, let me tease the question. You ready for this? Did anybody know it was happening is the question. That'll be the we'll get Kelly's answer.
NBC, thank the betters out there. That's for sure. Thank the betters.
I just think it was one of these. We'll get into it. But it's like there's college football starting, right? A U.S. Open for tennis hardos. But essentially you have this. Well, I'll save it again. Well, I don't want to get into it. I want to talk about the Heisman, the never too early discussion on the Heisman first. So you have great college football. And we'll talk about some of the games that went on. Obviously, we'll give our thoughts on those. But the Heisman Trophy, since the year 2000. Since the year 2000, you have had really only a handful, not even a handful. You've had four non-quarterbacks win the Heisman Trophy. Four non-quarterbacks. The most recent of which was DeVonta Smith for Alabama in the pandemic year of 2020. So it's not something that occurs in the modern age of college football that frequently. Once every 5 years, if you're to take the sample size from the beginning of this century. And if you look at the Heisman odds board, you know, again, scattered, you know, sort of in there with nothing but quarterbacks, you will find, you know, the Travis Hunters of the world, right? At 25-1, Travis Hunter from Colorado. We spoke about Travis Hunter last week with Felica, which is to say that here's a guy who plays both sides of the football, which he did last year as well. We had this discussion last year about Travis Hunter, where it's like nobody's more dynamic in college football. Then he got hurt. Colorado wasn't any good. And we sort of decided, you know, the question I asked Felica was, okay, what does Colorado have to be,
right? Yeah.
Record-wise for Hunter? Let's say Hunter's not going to play as many snaps as he did this past week against North Dakota State.
Played all but two.
That's not going to happen every week. But even if he played a tremendous amount of stats and he was phenomenal, the conclusion was, and I sort of led the answer, which is Colorado has to get to a bowl, right? Minimum for that to even be a consideration. Travis Hunter's not winning the Heisman if Colorado wins four games again. So this weekend, just to throw it out there, if a non-quarterback could earn your bet here, and there was a few performances by non-quarterbacks that were great. Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State. Do you have a Jeremiah Smith ticket or just Felica?
Just Felica.
Okay. Six catches.
But he's part of the all backup Ohio State backups.
Yes, that's why
tickets
I asked.
That we have. Yeah.
Six catches, 92 yards, two touchdowns. He was great. Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State. Ashton Gentry from Boise State. I'm not sure if everybody caught this.
Yep.
Six touchdowns, 20 carries for 267 yards. I'll do the math for you. That's 13.35 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Six touchdowns.
I'm glad you said, did you catch that? Because I missed that one completely.
Yeah.
The one we're getting to, though, no.
Well, this is why I bring it up. So, Teteroa McMillan from Arizona. He ended last year. By the way, Arizona had one of these interesting years last year where they were never involved in any national title hunt, of course. Mm-hmm. But I say that sort of like casually because if you look back at their actual record, the losses were so narrow, right? They lost at Mississippi State by a touchdown. They lost to UW. Of course, UW ended up playing in the national championship game. They lost to them by a touchdown. And they lost at USC in what, you know, third overtime college football, quote unquote, third overtime, right? So those were their only three losses. And McMillan ended the year last year with just a flourish of stats. It was one of these things that sort of went under the radar nationally. And I'll raise my hand. You know, I was part of that, where he ended the season at Colorado, 9 catches for 107 and a touch. Utah, home game, 8 catches for 116 and a touchdown. At Arizona State, this was the big game, 11 for 266 and a touchdown. And then in the bowl game against Oklahoma, 10 for 160. So he ends the season, and again, Arizona kind of not on the national scene. And then he shows up here for game number one against New Mexico, mind you, I get it. And we'll have a couple weeks here early where Arizona's going to roll their opponent and the stats are going to be, you know, cartoon-like. But he ends up with 10 catches for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns. In the first half alone, he had 7 for 248 and 4 touchdowns. That, of course, with two quarters to go. So the question becomes right off the bat here after 1 week of college football, all right, does Teteroa McMillan deserve, would you consider a bet on him at 65-1 to win the Heisman? And then the same question applies to him as it did to Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter in Colorado was right. Colorado must get to a bowl game. Arizona has to make the playoff for him to get considered? Because all this is very subjective, right? Yeah. Why should Colorado only have to get to a bowl, but Arizona have to get to the playoff? But I actually think that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's exceeding on where you finished last year, right? So it is, like, we talk about that often with the NFL awards and coach of the year. How much do you need to exceed what you did the season before? So it would be a massive leap for Colorado just to get into the playoff, right? But then you're talking about Arizona possibly winning that conference. I don't know, man. I feel like all of these guys, whether we want to talk Sanders, Hunter, or the kid from McMillan from Arizona, they all feel like long shots still. Like, I think they're fun. I think they're fun early season hype.
But at 65-1, the competition is what it is, New Mexico. And it's only going to step up in the Big 12, Arizona Big 12 team that's just in. And you look at their schedule and you think, okay, what can they actually have a record that would get them to a 12-team college football playoff? The potential hurdles at Kansas State in a couple weeks after they play Northern Arizona, at Utah a couple weeks after that, after a bye, let's pencil in an L there. Later, they're at UCF, and second to last game of the year, they're at TCU. All of those are hurdles. So it's going to be very difficult for the Arizona Wildcats to get there, obviously. But, dude, he looks like a man amongst boys.
So this was one of those games I had on TV, on second TV on mute, and I felt like every time I looked over there, he was making a catch. And, like, at halftime, I was like, I got to pull up the box score. And it was, yeah, wow, these are major numbers.
And, of course, it should be noted, he also has to beat out his quarterback defeated to actually win this as well. 65-1, I'm thinking about it. Let's put it that way. A little more college football and Kelly's thoughts on the Tour Championship in golf next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Kelly. Look at this place. Look, we got the background now. Like, the
looks great.
The guys did all these years.
Where is everybody? They didn't come out here to see us.
I was able to place a bet prior to 7 a.m., which we couldn't do at the D.
That's nice. That's nice. Yeah.
24 hours here at Circa. I will miss the D. Let me just shout out the folks at the D.
Oh, absolutely.
And specifically, this won't mean anything to anybody but me and Kelly, but Randy Rodriguez.
Randy and Marlon, thank you.
Randy and Marlon. Marlon, who taught us. Who's from Hawaii. You don't say someone's from Hawaii as a Hawaiian. He was very sensitive to that. He says, if you're from Nebraska, are you Nebraskan? So we're like, all right, cool. That's, we had those conversations. And Randy Rodriguez, who's the greatest human on earth, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm should know that.
Wait, so someone from Nebraska is not a Nebraskan?
No, they are. But like when someone, like, for instance, let's talk about Teteroa McMillan.
Ooh,
people will say, segue. People will be like, hey, he's Hawaiian. And Marlon, who is from Hawaii, would say, yeah, but you don't say when someone's from like Nebraska, you know, the first thing out of your mouth isn't, oh, he's Nebraskan. He is, but that's not the first thing out of your mouth.
That's right. I mean, with Marlon, it's overall great guy, followed by anything else.
That's right. We get tweets. First, we get tweets at Circa. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this. And does it work the same way in this studio? I think it does.
But by you reading them, yes. Because Kelly's still figuring out graphics.
Okay. This is
baby steps here.
This is from, I'm totally not Ron Burgundy-ing these, by the way. Let me just point that out. This is from the Numbers Guys. Oh, this is a great question, and maybe I should have been smart enough to say this. He says, at some point, could this be a play on Jasmine Paolini? Because the line has moved so very much against her.
Question.
It's a great question. And yes, the answer to your question is mechanically, technically, yes. There's obviously a point where the value then shifts to Jasmine Paolini. Obviously, in the case of those of us who got Mahova at the better number, it doesn't apply to us unless you wanted to do, you know, unless all of a sudden something changed and you thought something intrinsic in the match changed. But I don't. But yes, for those who have not gotten involved, there is a point. I just would not get in front of the Mahova train at this point. Scotty B726, biggest lineup improvement. Gil doesn't have to fling the court off his left shoulder. Yes. Thank you.
Hey, he was practicing for a shampoo commercial for a year, okay?
That's right. And this is from, let's see. Xavier 82. You boys look snazzy in that sexy studio of yours. Congratulations. It is a sexy studio. And then this segues right into the golf thing. Jeff G points out at Give Me the Hook. He said, Tour Championship date for 2025 is a week earlier next year, August 21st to 24th. Remember, it was pushed back a week this year due to the Olympics. You are correct, Jeff. Mm-hmm. But I still want to, the point kind of still remains, Kelly, which is The tennis, I'll use my world, the tennis equivalent to this is the slams are played. And by the way, no sport is as polite as tennis, where they wait for the NFL playoffs to happen, and then they have their first slam, and then the U.S. Open men's final is the first Sunday of the NFL, and tennis just gets out of the way for football. It's just coincidental. They didn't do it on purpose, but it's just perfect in terms of our betting calendar. There is something later in the tennis calendar called the ATP and the WTA finals, which is for the men's tour and the women's tour. They take the eight biggest point winners, and they have this great tournament. And for the tennis hardos, it's something, but it just doesn't
capture. I was going to say, why is that not a bigger thing?
It doesn't capture the imagination of the casual. Okay. And so golf, and yeah. I just want to ask you this, because no one loves golf more than you. Mm-hmm. By the way, Kelly hosts a little podcast by the name of, it's called Long Shots.
Well, and shout out to Jeff G for having me on his podcast last week as well. So, yeah.
So the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, Scottie Scheffler won $25 million this weekend. And I don't get the impression... I'll use my buddy Tommy in D.C. as like the representative of casual sports fan America. I don't believe he even knew it was happening. What can they do about this?
Good job, Scottie Scheffler. Do I get to count it as an outright hit? I don't know that it does when you bet him at +135 with the starting strokes of Scottie Scheffler. No. So, yeah, hey, we end the season with a win, though. We made some money, not $25 million worth. This has been a long discussed topic since they instituted this about 5 years ago. I don't have the perfect answer. I think there's a lot of people out there that no matter what sport we talk about, playoffs and changes with, a lot of people like to complain without actually having a better solution in mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem right now with golf.
There is no better solution, is there?
There really isn't unless you want to go along the lines of the argument of, okay, you have a qualifying process for the playoffs. Pretty much every sport does. Well, if you're good enough to make the playoffs, then you've made the playoffs. And from there on, nobody else gets a leg up besides when we talk about like the NFL, you get a bye, right? These sports where you get a bye. Other than that, everybody's on a level playing field, and it's whoever wins out from there on wins the whole dang thing, right? So it is a little weird to play two events. And then you get to the last one, and Scottie Scheffler, the best golfer in the world, is getting a two-shot lead. Now, this year was also especially odd. Remember we talked about before the first playoff event, before the FedEx St. Jude, I made a bet on Morikawa to win the whole dang thing. And it was a bad bet, even though he did get kind of close yesterday. He flirted. He was second.
He won the 72 holes, right? Didn't he?
I believe Scheffler still did. I got to check that because I know I lost on all those. So the problem is that you get these guys coming in with the huge lead. And when I made that bet on Morikawa, I didn't take the time to fully add up what the prize money was going to be or prize points were going to be for the first two events.
Yeah.
Because even if you had won both of those, you were still going to be behind most likely Scheffler and Schauffele going into the Tour Championship. So I think this year was just it was a great example of how awesome and amazing Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele were all season long to be able to put themselves in that 1-2 spot going into the tour.
I just think it's a question worth bringing up because I love golf. I know you love golf. And so they got to do something about this to sort of raise the... Did you have any bets that won in this?
I had Scheffler. Yeah, I had Scheffler. Okay. Hideki not getting a top five finish was big too. That was one of the ones I was big on. Everything else was a loss, but at least a good winner to end the season.
There you go. Sure. There is more golf and tennis after the slams. It's just not.
Yeah, we'll get into the fall schedule. Yeah. We'll be doing long shots. We'll be covering all that stuff. But it's kind of like soccer. We joke about ball cards. Yeah. Like 2 weeks, and then I think we got the Fortinet or whatever back in Napa. So yeah, it turns around quick.
Still learning what to do with my arms here at this studio.
Yeah, we got a lot to learn. We got new earpieces in lights.
No more hair dent. It's awesome. Yeah,
there's no music or slot machines. I don't know if I need to like watch out for anybody coming in the studio or not.
College football. Oh, yeah, that's always a thing. College football week one is not done. By the way, I want to get your thoughts on your alma mater FSU here momentarily. But what are the big takeaways? We'll get Futak in here later for the big takeaways so far in college football. But the marquee matchups, Georgia Clemson. Georgia is exactly who we thought they were. At least we could say that after the game, maybe not at halftime, but certainly Georgia is the behemoth that we thought them to be. Clemson, by the way, no one should be surprised at this point. Ever since Trevor Lawrence and those championship caliber teams graduated and got drafted, This has been going on for 3 years at Clemson, right? So this shouldn't be any surprise. And Dabo is obviously behind the times, refusing the transfer portal. So that game, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you make any bets on that game? Like, I know no. Felica had, like, he was all over it with the unders and team total under on Clemson.
I did not. The biggest sort of laugh we got this weekend is that we were in gaming. We're in gaming bets all weekend, and Todd at one point had Ole Miss, I want to say, I keep some like minus 70 awesome. Something or something like that. And Lane Kiffin is just ridiculous how he does. Yeah. I'll show you, Furman. So that was just kind
he's
of amusing.
Got a chip on his shoulder.
So I think that game is, you know, nothing really big. The Notre Dame Texas A&M outcome is probably, in terms of just like significance for a college football playoff, we all knew going into the season that if Notre Dame won this game, they're in coast mode. They're going to be favored in every other. By the way, I don't know how good Notre Dame is.
Yeah, me
I don't know after that.
I wasn't very impressed with either side in that game, to be honest.
Notre Dame gets it done. They'll be favored in every game. And it's one of these. Remember now with the 12-team playoff, Notre Dame can lose a game, maybe even two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're still in. And then they might get clocked. But that's that. And then USC, LSU, which I know our buddy Matt Brown was probably upset with the final LSU just, and Brian Kelly lost his mind after the game yesterday, but because they had it on their racket late and they just could not get it done. And they left the door open and USC, not only with a game winning field goal, but they get the game winning touchdown at the end to seal it and win outright against LSU.
If I've said anything on this show for years, Gil, it is you cannot leave Miller Boss that much time left on the clock.
I believe you've said that many times.
Yeah, many times, several times.
But maybe the headline there is USC has a defense, so we'll see.
Yeah.
What about FSU and Boston College? FSU, obviously, big favorite, and coming off that Georgia Tech debacle in Dublin where they couldn't tackle anybody.
Yeah. I mean, look, they got beat up in the trenches against Georgia Tech. Like, that is a concern. It's a major concern. I'd still think, if I was looking at the side tonight, the only thing I'd be betting is Florida State just because of the massive line move that we've seen from that correction from the Georgia Tech loss. So I would be the only way I'd go, Gil. With being a Florida State grad, I'm just gonna be watching and hope they can get this thing back on track. You might remember that wedding I was at in Miami just like a few weeks ago.
I do.
Part of the wedding gift I gave my buddy who was an FSU grad was an FSU national championship ticket. So sorry. That wasn't a gag wedding gift, I promise.
I just figured out you had a betting ticket. I was like, how'd you get a ticket to the Florida State game?
I bet it out here. They brought it out there for him.
Gotcha. Yeah. We'll come back. A little baseball break with Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. The Mets and the Braves getting close for the playoff spot. It's next Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 plus on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 106 lines, instant in-play betting, and concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live now in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. This is huge. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Let me just say this about Sport Trade. We've had the CEO, Alex Kane, on a Numbers Game before. Super smart guy. We'll have him on again this week, hopefully. Sport Trade is going to change the game. And again, now it was one thing when they were just in New Jersey, but if they're going to be five states deep, that is huge. So if you are lucky enough to be in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and coming soon, Arizona and Virginia, good on you. And you should absolutely take advantage. If you're doing this right, you should absolutely do so. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mark Borchardt standing by. I just want to read some of these. Mike Stacks, did they move you into Circa because you gave away your sushi place to upper management? I think all of the shows you've done, you always sit on the right side for the viewing audience. It's throwing me off. LOL. Congrats on the move to VSiN Studio. You deserve it. This is a theme of these tweets this morning, that I'm on this side and Kelly is on that side. Kyle D, do y'all live in a suitcase with how often they have you moving locations? Congrats on the new digs. However, I will miss the people watching in the background at Gil's nonstop wrestling match with his microphone cord. Oh, you noticed that. Let's see. This is from Jeff Holdorf. We'll miss Kelly's comments on the D's Patriots. Congrats, guys, on the new digs. Thank you for that. Loser Larry says, switch spots. I like you on the right side when I watch TV, LOL. And then there's a few more of those. Here's one more. Michael Burns, can't comprehend Gil on the left and Kelly on the right. I'm flummoxed. I did not know this was going to be a thing this morning. But apparently more than one of you think that, like, we have the proper sides of the bed, I guess, is the sort of equivalent if you're talking. Never mind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at BaseWinner, basewinner.com, and he hosts a BetUS baseball show each and every morning. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
Yo, I'm doing good. It's an interesting day. Labor Day is always a wild, kind of a wild day, just like scheduling spots, and there's a couple scheduling spots that are weird to me today.
Explain that. Where are those?
Well, I think that Baltimore game is an interesting game, and they're priced in the market at -365. I don't have a problem laying the wood if it was like a natural game, but like Baltimore's coming back from Colorado. They're starting like an early game. It's an early-ish game for them. I don't know. It's hard to get behind Chris Flexen, though, right? Right, Gil? You know, we talked about him on the third quarter show, and the guy's the worst pitcher in baseball. But I think that's a real weird scheduling spot, that Baltimore spot. I think that A's game's kind of a weird, just weird times. Even the Padres, who I'm going to play today, it's kind of a weirder time, Gil.
You said you're playing the Padres.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Padres today. I'm going to play them with the Yankees in a parlay. I think it pays about +140, I think, something like that. So I like this Padres team really, really good. I don't think they're quite as good as the Dodgers offensively, but the bullpen's superb. They've got the best K-minus BB percentage in baseball since August 1st. And I think that's notable when you're going into the playoffs to take a look at how these bullpens are doing, because they just play such a big role when you come to playoff baseball.
Who else besides the Padres today did you play?
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I'm going to put them. That's going to be the second leg. I think Gerrit Cole, he's got some good numbers, 87% plus stuff, 92nd percentile in the strikeout percentage, last 10 median. I think he's hitting his form. And God, that Yankees offense, we talked about this. The two guys, I don't know if I've ever seen this, where they're 1-2 in baseball, OPS, base runs created, however you do it, you've got Judge and Soto right up there together.
So that's a Padres Yankees parlay, just to clarify.
It is.
Okay.
It is, Gil.
Anything straight, or is that the only base winner play today?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of a tough, like Labor Day is one of those days, like July 4th, Memorial Day. I tend to stay away from the card a little bit. I think if I had to play one straight game, I'd probably go with the Dodgers. I don't think there's anything wrong with Flaherty. He's looking at 88th percentile from a strikeout percentage. He's really suppressing hard hit contact. And then Erod, there's like mixed in the market. There's guys who really like Erod. And then there's me who I really don't like Erod. And you look at his stuff plus, it's in the fourth percentile. You look at Erod's last 10 median strikeout percentage. That's the fourth percentile. And then one thing about the Diamondbacks, I don't think that this has been priced in the market correctly, is Marte is out. And he's one of those cryptic injuries type thing. He's got this ankle problem, and there's really no definitive timetable. They're saying he's going to come back on the 6th of September, but, you know, they said he was going to come back on the 9th of August, back on the 25th of August. So there's this cryptic with Marte, and I think he plays a really big part in that Diamondbacks lineup, Gil.
Mets have won 4 in a row. Cubs have won 6 in a row. The Braves now clinging. I mean, they looked like, right at one point, the Mets overtook them just for a brief moment for that third wildcard position in the National League. We have exactly 4 weeks, precisely 4 weeks, 28 days left in the Major League Baseball season. Now the Braves, who had gotten out to a 4-game lead, I think, since then, for that third and final wildcard position in the National League. They were even, you know, folks were even talking about them overtaking the Phillies for the division now when they got to that 4-game lead over the wildcard or the wannabe wildcard field, those on the outside looking in, if you will. Now it's a 1-game lead over the Mets. 3 over the Cubbies, 5 over the Cardinals. You have remained steadfast by your numbers that the Braves are still a huge favorite to get there. How do you feel now?
Yeah, I have them 74%. I mean, that starts with the best xFIP in baseball, and that's a big deal. you know, those games against Philly were fairly close. If you look at like last night's game goes into extra innings, they had the lead on the Thursday night game and even the Saturday game where they didn't score. It was a close game until I think maybe the seventh inning. So I think this Braves team, while they're, I don't know, offensively challenged, because, you know, when you lose Riley, when you lose Acuna, you are offensively challenged. But even so, they're probably top 10 weighted runs created plus, especially in August. And I think that that's a serviceable number. But that pitching is really good. Best bullpen by my numbers. And so, like I said, I have them 74% to get.
I just want to ask you this, and I know this is, you know, this is more nuanced, but in terms of folks who are still making bets, if they haven't yet and they want to get into some of these markets, make missed playoffs, they're still betting divisions. How much of the remaining schedule strength do you factor into your projections? Because I will tell you that while I've made a monthly baseball bet, most wins every single month thus far this year. For those who missed it on Friday, I have the Diamondbacks in the month of September at 25-1. But one of the things that I didn't care as much about in the month of September is your remaining strength of schedule, because I, just from doing this for so many years, and I can't really put my finger on it, but the nature of that doesn't really manifest in the same way to me as it does the other 5 months. Do you view it that way at all?
It's a good theory. I don't know if you can, for the way I model it, like game by game, I put it in a Monte Carlo simulation. So I've got to come up with ratings for each team, but it presents somewhat of a philosophical question in September, as far as like you're rating a team like Pittsburgh, right? Are they going to use schemes as much as they would say in July?
That's right.
And so that's a really good, I believe in that philosophy. It's just quantifying it. You'd have to go down the team, and you can certainly do it with your run rating going into the simulation, whether it be defensively or offensively. But it's a really good idea, Gil.
Well, it's just, just from a macro level, it's the point of also with a, you know, with an ever increasing playoff format, right? Like if you're locked into the number, just let's say hypothetically, if you're locked into the number 5 wild card in the final week of the season, how does that club play that, right? Does a team like the Diamondbacks, who are chasing not only a wild card, they're in the wild card position, but they're obviously looking to secure that, but they're chasing the division as well. They're chasing number 1 seed, right? They're chasing all these things. They will be highly motivated to go through it to every single game the rest of the way. So I think there's just more factors. There's a lot more in the mix in the month of September than just a cold, let's say we were in May and we're just like, who's got the heart, you know, who's got the toughest strength of schedule, who's got the easiest, that kind of thing. So I just think it's something for folks to keep in mind when they're making their bets here down the stretch. There's a little bit of a different alchemy. Last thing, we got 30 seconds. We're 4 weeks out of the postseason. Can't wait. You're still, your numbers when you get to the postseason, what is it saying? Who's in the World Series per your numbers?
Well, I like the Dodgers. Just kind of pull that out to get there, to win the league championship series. I've got them at about 45%. They're just so deep, Gil. And you look at their bullpen, the way they've been able to use that bullpen. And of course, I'm banking that Yamamoto and Glasnow are going to come back. So that's a big caveat. And that's a big question.
Mark, the answer is the Royals versus the Diamondbacks. I'm sorry. Just for some of us who have those bets. Thank you, Mark. Always great to see you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Take it easy, man.
Mark Borchardt, at base winner. Kelly and I back with some NFL. All of our week one bets and futures as well. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With college football already underway and the NFL kicking off this week, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course, more best bets. Grab our football season special and get full Visa Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99 and see why Visa Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of these offers and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin live from Circa. I don't even know what to do with ourselves. It's beautiful. There are walls.
Oh, it's great.
It's fantastic.
It is great.
Kelly, you were out for the last segment, and I read three different tweets from folks.
Yeah.
And there's more now, because now it's gaining steam. People are tripping over the fact that we're on different sides.
I'm trying to think of what the shot setup was. I mean, we were on a split screen always because we were on, well, you know, opposite sides of the table, or what, perpendicular to each other at that table, sort of.
Yeah, weird angle.
Yeah, like a weird angle. But on screen, it always would have been a split screen, where I still think I would have been on your right and Gil on your left. Maybe I've got that
Square Bob 2022. You are supposed to be sitting on the other side of Kelly. It's getting more aggressive. Trip Tepper, a fun solution for FedEx Cup Final. Top 32 compete in match play at Eastlake, but candidly, the FedEx Cup playoff format might not be reparable.
So I am not a fan of, I love normal stroke play to bet on, but match play, I agree. I do think if I was running things, and for the playoffs, that would definitely be a part of it. Like, there is, you can get down to a final 32, a final 16 or whatever, tournament. And you play it like a bracket.
Bracket. Right? Yeah. Greg Lazarowitz. I'm sorry, Gil. I can hear you too clearly on the live stream. Can you tell Circa to turn up the slot machines? Thank you.
And don't worry. There will be different things that people get here at Circa.
Yeah.
They didn't get at the D. And like, Gil has made fun of me for years for typing very loudly. Boy, this mic is very close to the laptop. You're going to get a lot of clicking and clacking in the background.
Oh, and the Sigma Derby horses have tweeted, and why have you guys left us? We are so lonely. Please come back. Hashtag let's ride.
Don't worry, it's Labor Day. You'll have some party goers there.
Appreciate all the tweets. NFL Week 1 now 3 days away. 3 days away. Remember, we got the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then we got the game in Brazil between the Eagles and the Packers on Friday night. You prepared for Friday night NFL football?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the rest of the games, not the rest of them, minus the Monday night, of course.
What else am I doing?
By the way, that was the other thing we were talking about off air that we haven't talked about. Like, there is no Monday night doubleheader Week 1.
Yeah, that makes me, I love them so much, Gil.
So a special numbers game investigation reveals that the Monday night doubleheader is when?
Week 3.
Week 3 is the first.
Because I believe my first text to you was I was very angry over there not being in Week 1 or Week 2, so we clearly must just not be doing it. I didn't bother to look at Week 3.
And Kelly was very upset about this. Very upset.
I love it. It's one of the best things they've done to the NFL over the past, 5 years? Added the Monday night doubleheader at the beginning of the season.
They should do it every week.
They should do it every week.
Because that won't cause any scheduling problems at all. Okay. Hey,
we'll just leave one on Thursday. We're not asking for two on Thursday.
Week 1 bets that you have made. I have bet every one of what I believe, and I'm just going to telegraph the pass on the contest picks, because I think you have to bet your your pre-flop convictions from the entire offseason. And so I've made bets in all 5 Circa Millions plays that I believe I will be submitting. Don't hold me to this, obviously. You want perfect information. You want to wait till Saturday as late as you can in case something terrible happens, let's say, in a practice with an injury or what have you. But the bets that I have made, the bets that are in pocket, and I think these will be my Week 1 plays. Cardinals +6. I already have this bet in. This is really related to my conviction that I'm not as high as the Buffalo Bills as some are this year. I do think that the Stephon Diggs absence is bigger than most are sort of allowing it to be in their minds. He stretched the field at the very least and allowed Josh Allen to go crazy to tight ends. I'm not sure that's going to be the case now without somebody to spread the field on offense this year.
So that is the one we share. Oh, no. I see a second one you added.
So the Cardinals +6. Anything 6 or more on the Cardinals. But I got the Cardinals +6. And I do think the Cardinals are perhaps underrated conventional wisdom-wise.
Yeah, I think they are.
Heading into the season.
That's an offense that finished strong last year when Kyler Murray got back on the field. I really don't expect to see much difference when you've got Marvin Harrison back on the team now. You got James Conner back. Like, that is a offense, I think, as long as Kyler Murray's healthy, is a dangerous one. Now, the defense is another story, but that's one you and I share, and I will likely be a contest pick for me, too.
I like it. Eagles -2.5. Grab that in Brazil on Friday night against the Packers in the Eagles, quote unquote, home game. I do think I'm as big a Jordan Love guy as anybody. I was the one last offseason saying, hey, you hold the clipboard for as long as you have for years under the same offensive system. You sometimes turn out pretty good. But let's kind of like press the brakes a little bit on that. Eagles minus 2.5 is still the play the first night of the season.
This one is it's still fascinating to me because I think of all of our offseason discussion, I think I'm the bigger Eagles guy.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I just can't. I definitely lean that way for this game, but I haven't made the bet. I just haven't made the bet. I'm holding back still.
I mean, the issue with week one is nothing should surprise you.
Correct. Right? Yes. Yeah. And I think a lot of that goes back to the Packers, right? They ended the season with such a hot stretch with Jordan Love looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think more of my question is that going to completely carry over to this year or not? In week one, I might get a little dicey with that.
This one I'm terrified of, as one should
me
be.
Me too.
Because if this goes, someone pointed this out on Twitter. I wish I could remember who, but someone said, everybody's going to lose their minds when the Steelers blow out the Falcons, he said.
They're not blowing them out.
Or let's say he said, beep. Whatever the case, The point remains, he's right. Based on everything everybody has said the entire offseason, if the Steelers beat the Falcons, it's like, okay, we're back, NFL. I did lay the field goal with the Falcons.
Yes.
The Falcons debut of Kirk Cousins, and when I mean debut, I mean really debut. We have not seen him in a Falcons uniform on the playing field, coming off the Achilles rupture, given the 3 against the Russell Wilson-led Pittsburgh Steelers. So that is pick number 3. I'm also kind of terrified and think I'm going to be, have multiple survivor picks on the Saints. I laid the 4 here before it got up higher against the Panthers. But again, would it shock me if the Saints just laid an egg? Nothing would shock me, and nothing should shock you in week one. So that's the 4th pick. And then the one that I probably like better than everybody, I grabbed the Jets plus 4 before it got any lower.
Yeah, good on you.
The Trent Williams thing is getting dicier and dicier. He is adamant. We've seen him be stubborn about playing. In D.C., it was a medical issue that he said, I'm never playing for this team again. He never did. Now we have a guy who's unhappy in San Francisco. He's not coming anywhere close to the playing field. This is not a Brandon Ayuk situation where Brandon Ayuk and the Niners, you kind of got the feeling we're always going to work it out. I don't know if Trent Williams works it out in any kind of, efficient time with the San Francisco 49ers. And I think the world of the Jets, they are stacked on each level of the defense. They were great on defense when they had horrible quarterback play. So they had to be on the field more last year. Now, if Aaron Rodgers just gives them any modicum of quarterback play coming off his Achilles injury at age 40, I'll start. And I love the Niners, but I'll take the Jets plus the points. Thank you very much. And I think I'll add a money line play, a sprinkle as well.
I like it. That's another one I haven't bet yet. I think its numbers probably moved too far now that I probably stay off. That's a side I like, though. I wish I would have bet it earlier. As far as mine go, I feel like it was just a lot of grabbing numbers as we were, talking games throughout the summer, especially the past few weeks, as we were getting close to key number moves. So Chiefs, I laid 2.5 with. That's pretty much out to 3. I didn't really get that at 2.5, and there's still 2.5s available on there. I think the Chiefs are a team that got better this offseason. I think the Ravens are a team that did get a little worse this offseason. We are going to be in Kansas City for this game, so lay 2.5. With that one, I like that. Jags Dolphins over 49. I think both these offenses could come out firing. Questions on both defenses, especially Miami's to me. Falcons 2.5. Same thing. We're on that together. Wanted to try to grab at least a piece of that before it went to 3. And I don't even know where we see that close at. Wouldn't surprise if it gets to 3.5. So 2.5 there. Was able to get this teaser in. Yes, I'm laying minus 140, but Vikings up to 7.5. We're now our 1-point favorite pretty much everywhere. Bengals down to 2.5 when they were at 9. So worth the 6.5 there. I'm pretty dang confident in that one. But oh boy, teasers get dicey early in the NFL season when there's so much. Like you said, Gil, we get a lot of surprises. So teasers, parlays, I would always caution people a little bit with those. Cardinals, I got 6.5 there, or 6 is out there. I would still bet it at 6 for sure. And then the Bucks, I laid 3, Gil. I laid 3, and I think it might be my survivor play week 1 against your Commanders.
Ask me if it bothered me that Jaden Daniels was at the LSU-USC game in Vegas yesterday.
Oh, I thought this... why didn't I text you? Did it bother you, Gil? Yeah, it bothered me a little bit.
Felt a little weird. We'll come back. We'll look at every month the most wins marketed baseball for the entire season, including the month of September, of course. That's next.